بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So today is lesson number 47. This is the 47th lesson in our series on the book Al-Ubudiyya of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And in the previous lesson, we were discussing the issue of holding fast to the Quran and the Sunnah, and how basically people who deviated because they started to use the mutashabih meaning the ambiguous passages of the Quran, leaving the decisive verses of the Quran. And so they use these ambiguous passages in order to construct either false beliefs or false aspects of worship, false, you know, acts of worship which don't have any basis. So one of the key methods is to use the mutashabih of the Quran, and this in fact is general to all the people of falsehood. We mentioned the verse at the beginning of Surah Ali Imran about this being the intent or the desire of those who intend corruption and mischief and misguidance, that they seek out the ambiguous texts which could carry many different meanings, and so they impose their falsehood upon that text, and they leave the very clear, you know, very clear, explicit texts. And so a lot of this discussion is centered around the Sufis and the actions of the Sufis, because the Sufis represent many of the ways in which the Christians went astray. The Sufis represent many of the ways in which the Christians went astray. And the Christians went astray because they exaggerated in the issue of love, and they exaggerated in Al-Masih, Isa ibn Maryam, and exaggerated in his mother, and so they, you know, invented many things into the religion. So that discussion last week was you know, a continuing discussion that we've had in relation to what is the true religion and what is the foundation of worship. It is Mahabba. And what is the true sign of Mahabba, that a person is genuinely loving Allah, loving His Messenger? It is Ittiba. And how love cannot be on its own, it has to be accompanied with fear on the one hand and hope on the other hand. And if we don't have all of these elements, right, sincerity, ittiba, imitating the messenger, following his guidance, love coupled with hope and fear, if you don't have all of these things together, then we can start becoming misguided in many different ways. And from that misguidance that was illustrated was the misguidance of the Nasara, who are the Christians, and likewise of the Yahud, and, you know, many other examples could also be illustrated. So this brought us to the end of the last lesson, where Shaykh al-Islam mentioned to us in a sentence what is the essence of the true religion. He said, وَإِنَّمَا دِينُ الْحَقِّ هُوَ تَحْقِيقُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ لِلَّهِ بِكُلِّ وَجْهِ. That indeed the true religion is to actualize servitude, al-ubudiyya, for Allah from every angle. And that's where we finished in the previous lesson. So we're going to continue. Today's lesson starts from here, lesson 47. And so he says, Ibn Taymiyyah says next, continuing his explanation of the true religion, وَهُوَ تَحْقِيقُ مُحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ بِكُلِّ دَرَجَةِ. Right, which means that this true religion is to actualize the love of Allah in all of its degrees, in all of its levels, in all of its degrees. So Shaykh al-Fawzan comments upon this, and he says that the foundation of worship, as we've seen, is to love Allah. It is the love of Allah Jalla wa Ala, and it is the pure type of love in all its types. So Allah loves, he loves Allah, but he doesn't love anyone alongside Allah, right? He only loves Allah purely with the pure type of love. And then he loves those whom Allah loves. He loves those whom Allah loves, and he loves what Allah loves, right? So this is the flow of the love. He loves Allah with the pure type of love, with the absolute type of love. And then he loves whomever Allah loves, and he loves whatever Allah loves, meaning of deeds and behaviors and so on and so forth. This means that all of his love is for Allah and for the sake of Allah. It follows on from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions about the polytheist. He says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّهُمْ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Amongst the people are those who take as deities besides Allah, and they love them as with a love that as Allah should be loved, right? So they have this intense and severe love for their deities, with the type of love that should only be for Allah Azza wa Jal. So amongst the people are those who are like this. And to illustrate, sometimes you find with the grave worshippers, if you look at the state of the grave worshippers, the people who worship the graves, sometimes they will go to the grave and they will stand, you know, with the hands down, and they might even hold the hands like this, and they will stand in humility. Right? Why? Because they believe that this person in the grave, because of his status with Allah Azza wa Jal, is in a position to convey his needs, to take his needs to Allah and to intercede with him. Right? So hoping for that intercession, he stands with such khushu', humility and awe, and you know, with his eyes down and whatever, in such a way that you would not find him doing so in the prayer itself, in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is something that you can actually observe and witness with the grave worshippers. So this thing here, this reality which is being pointed out here, is, you know, that there are among the people who obviously worship other things besides him, with a type of love, and obviously the things that follow on and should be connected to love, which include fear and hope as well, that is with a type of love that should only be given to Allah Azza wa Jal, which is only for Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Shaykh then says that there's no worship without loving the thing that you are worshipping, right? This is not possible whether your worship is true or false. So even if you are worshipping an idol, for example, it's not possible for you to be worshipping the idol except that there is love in your heart for that idol, right? And the same would be for anything and everything which is being worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal, be it an idol, be it a stone, be it a person, be it a grave, be it a tomb, whatever it might be. This is simply not possible, as the Shaykh says, وَلَيْسَ هُنَاكَ عِبَادَةٌ دُونَ مَحَبَّةٍ لِلْمَعْبُودِ لَا بُدَّ أَن تَكُونَ الْعِبَادَةُ مَبْنِيَّةٌ عَلَى مَحَبَّةِ الْمَعْبُودِ سَوَاءً كَانَ الْمَعْبُودُ حَقًّا أَوْ بَاطِلًا. Whether the thing that's being worshipped is true or false, that worship cannot be based upon anything except love. Right, so there's no one, فَمَا مِنْ أَحَدْ يَعْبُدُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحِبُّهُ وَلَوْ لَمْ يُحِبُّهُ لَمَا عَبَدَهُ. There is no one who worships anything except that he loves that thing. Had he not loved that thing, he would not have worshipped it. Right, so After mentioning this statement about what is the true religion, and it is تحقيق العبودية لله بكل وجه, it is to become an actualized servitude, to become a servant of Allah with all of its meanings, and you know, of all from every angle. He then said, it is to establish the love of Allah with every degree, of all of its degrees, and basically its levels and types. And then he says after this, وَبِقَدْرِ تَكْمِيلِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ تَكْمُلُ مَحَبَّةُ الْعَبْدِ لِرَبِّهِ, which means that to the extent that a person then perfects that servitude, his love for his Lord will also be perfected. So in other words, that we know that love is the foundation of servitude, but likewise to actually enact servitude itself, right, to enact the physical actions and to do the things, to the extent that a servant does this, will in turn determine the extent to which he is perfecting his love for his Lord, right? So they are both connected, right? So where this is going, the discussion of the Shaykh is going, is basically, if you remember, we said previously that a Christian can claim, I love Allah, and then do deeds and do actions which are not any sign of his love for Allah. Or likewise, a believer, a Muslim, can claim, I love Allah, yet there isn't from his deeds anything which indicates that love. So here Ibn Taymiyyah is outlining the realities that show the error of you know what we've discussed. So to the extent that a person actualizes and perfects his ubudiyah from a practical, physical kind of implementation point of view, then to that extent will his love also be perfected and completed. Meaning that love is synonymous with acting. Love is synonymous with, you know, servitude. It's not something that's just only in the heart. It's not a claim that you make only in the heart, that I love Allah, I love the Messenger. Like we said, we gave the example before, you can't say, I love my mother, I love my father, I love my children, and then not a single deed, not a single instance, not a single expression of love ever emanates from you. It's impossible. It can't be possible. So then the Sheikh Al-Fawzan comments upon this sentence, and he says that every time a person's love for Allah increases, then his ubudiyah in turn increases and becomes perfect. And every time his love diminishes and decreases in the heart, then likewise his servitude of Allah also decreases. And that's because love is the foundation. Love is the foundation. But love is not only, it's not the only part of worship, as is claimed by the Sufis. Rather, there has to also be fear and hope as well, along the lines of what we discussed before. And alongside it as well are various types of worship. So all the types of worship are part and parcel of love as well. But love is the foundation. Love itself is the foundation. Then he mentions some poetry from Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, who summarizes all of this in poetry form. So he says, وَعِبَادَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ غَايَةُ حُبِّهِ مَعَ ذُلِّ عَابِدِهِ هُمَا قُطْبَانِ. The worship of Ar-Rahman is to bring the extremity of his love, to bring the essence of love, alongside humbling oneself, alongside having humility, the humility of the worshipper, of the worshipper. These are two poles. These are two poles. وَعَلِيهِمَا فَلَكُ الْعِبَادَةِ ضَائِرٌ مَا دَارَ حَتَّى قَامَتِ الْقُطْبَانِ. And then, around these two poles, the two poles, so there's love and humility, around these two poles does worship revolve, right? So worship revolves around these two poles. And this worship cannot revolve until these two poles are established. And then he says, وَمَدَارُهُ بِالْأَمْرِ أَمْرِ رَسُولِهِ لَا بِالْهَوَى وَالنَّفْسِ وَالشَّيْطَانِ. So he says, its central, you know, central point, its central issue is by way of the command of the of his messenger. Right, so meaning that you now also follow the messenger's command. It is not by al-hawa, your desires, one nafs, nor your soul, nor shaitan, nor the Satan, nor the devil. Right. So Ibn al-Qayyim here summarizes basically that worship, as we've discussed before, is the essence of love with the essence of humility, and this has to be accompanied with following the command of the messenger. It cannot be by anything else. Not by anything else. Then Ibn Taymiyyah continues, rahimahullah, and he says, وَتَكْمَلُ مَحَبَّةُ الرَّبِّ لِعَبْدِهِ وَبِقَدْرِ نَقْسُ هَذَا يَكُونُ نَقْسُ هَذَا. So he says that likewise, the love of the Lord for his servant. So this means Allah's love for you likewise is connected to all of this. Right? So the more you enact the ubudiyyah, then Allah's love of you also increases. Not only does your love increase by these deeds, then Allah's love of you also increases as well. And then the opposite applies to the extent that this love diminishes, then likewise, ubudiyyah diminishes as well. Right? So this is all very, very clear and apparent. Then he says, وَكُلُّ مَا كَانَ فِي الْقَلْبِ حُبٌّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ كَانَتْ فِيهِ عُبُودِيَّةٌ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِحَسَبِ ذَلِكَ. وَكُلُّ مَا كَانَ فِيهِ عُبُودِيَّةٌ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ كَانَ فِيهِ حُبٌّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِحَسَبِ ذَلِكَ. So now he's explaining the opposite. So he says, every time there is in the heart love for other than Allah, so any time in your heart there is love for other than Allah, you know, for other than Allah, and he means, what he means here is not, we're not speaking about the love that follows on from the love of Allah, like we've already explained. This is not what he's speaking about here, because when your love follows on from the love of Allah, like you love the prophets, you love the messengers, you know, you love the believers, you love what Allah loves, you love the halal, you love what is obligatory, you love what is tayyib and wholesome and pure, you love all those things. This is not what we are speaking of, right? Because these things, they are from the love of Allah, right? Whereas what he's speaking here about here is, every time there is in the heart love for other than Allah, then there will be servitude to other than Allah, to that degree, to the extent of that, right? So if, for example, now there is love in your heart for wealth, or leadership, or fame, or fortune, right? So in your heart is love of these things. Or for example, we find with sinful Muslims, love of maybe alcohol, love of drugs, love of shameful deeds, or that we find with, you know, this will make you subservient and enslaved and captivated to other than Allah to the extent to which your love exists for those things, right? So the more deep and profound your love for wealth or for women or for status or for power or for fame or for fortune, then that love is going to be the cause of your enslavement to those things, right? And then he says, وَكُلُّ مَا كَانَ فِيهِ عُبُودِيَّةٌ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ كَانَ فِيهِ حُبٌّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِحَسْبِ ذَلِكَ. And likewise also, in terms of action, if you are captivated and in servitude to things besides Allah, like it could be alcohol, drugs, women, wealth, power, status, or whatever it might be, then in your heart there must also be love which is proportionate to that outward, you know, servitude. Right? Meaning it's working both ways. Right? Whether the love is purely and sincerely for Allah and follows on from Allah, then if there's strong pure love in the heart, the outward, there will be outward servitude to the extent of that. And similarly, if there is outward servitude, you know, to Allah, you are enslaved to Allah, meaning in terms of your deeds, then those actions likewise will mean that the love in the heart is to the same degree, and each one increases because it's like a circle. What's in the heart will affect what's on the limbs outwardly, and what's on the limbs will in turn affect what's in the heart, right? So it's like a semicircle goes that way with an arrow, and a semicircle goes that way with an arrow this way. It goes round row like this. And similarly the other way around, the opposite, right? Or the thing which clashes with this, that if there is in the heart love for other than Allah, all the things other than Allah, which, you know, Ibn Taymiyyah discussed in, you know, many lessons previously, where he mentioned the various texts, right? The text about, you know, Ta'isa Abdul Dirham, Ta'isa Abdul Dinar, the one who basically is a worshipper of the dinar and the dirham and the extravagant cloth, right? And the one who seeks fame and fortune and power, and the one who's captivated by women and things like this, right? The one in whose heart is love of these things, then that will draw him to servitude and captivation to the extent of that love. And likewise as well, every time he enacts and he does those deeds, which are deeds of servitude, right? So an instance of drinking alcohol, or an instance of a forbidden relationship, or an instance of, you know, seeking power and enacting power and making moves, right, to satisfy one's lust for power or fame or authority or recognition, every time that deed is done, that then feeds back into the love of that thing which is in the heart, right? So it's like it feeds into each other. And so each thing is to the extent of the other thing. So this is the point that Ibn Taymiyyah here, rahimahullah, is making. And Sheikh al-Fawzan comments upon this, and he says, we see that the polytheists, they love Allah, and they do certain deeds of worship, they do acts of worship. For example, we know the pagan Arabs, they used to hajj, used to make umrah, used to give charity, and do other deeds of righteousness. But alongside this, they used to love alongside Allah other things, from be that idols, be that stones, be that trees, or other entities or beings. And so they became, just like the verse that we mentioned earlier on, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Among the people are those who take as deities, other deities besides Allah, as rivals, as partners, and they love them as they truly should love Allah. So after this, Ibn Taymiyyah continues and mentions another sentence, and he says, وَكُلُّ مُحَبَّةٍ لَا تَكُونَ لِلَّهِ لَا تَكُونَ لِلَّهِ فَهِيَ بَاطِلَةٍ. Every love that is not for Allah, then it is futile and false. فَهِيَ بَاطِلَةٍ. It is futile and false. Now before we go further, let's explain this so we clearly understand what are we referring to here. For example, we've already made it clear that from the love of Allah is to love the messengers, love the books, love the angels, love righteous deeds, right? So obviously this is part and parcel of loving Allah. But say, for example, someone loved wealth. Now that wealth, his love of that wealth, could be either in the path of Allah for the sake of Allah, or it could be other than that. So for example, a person might think that to pursue wealth is a means for me to give da'wah, or to establish da'wah, or to use it in the path of Allah, right? In whatever way it might be possible, either, you know, to feed the poor, to soften their hearts, or to print the Quran, or to, you know, whatever it might be, right? Given charity, whatever it might be. This love of wealth now is not the love of wealth which is, you know, the love which is false or futile. Because the love here is the love that follows on from Allah's love. And it's in the path of Allah, for the sake of Allah. Right? So here we can't say that a person now is attached to something other than Allah. and therefore this, no, it's not like that. But if a person was attached to wealth, and his attachment now is basically, it's not because of, well, I need to earn this money to feed my family and to, you know, have a basic level of subsistence. No, it's because I want more, and this wealth will buy me a car, and this car will make me appear to be, you know, I will have status and position in society, and, you know, people look up to me. Basically, it's superfluous, and it's like an attachment that is vain, and so on and so forth. Then this is the type of love that is being mentioned here, being alluded to, right? This, every type of love, every instance of love that is not for Allah, not for the sake of Allah, does not follow on from Allah, for, you know, follow the love of Allah, nor is it for His sake, nor is it in His path, then fahiya batila. And this, in fact, applies to every relationship as well. Even relationships. Right? And that's why there's a verse in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah mentions that on the Day of Judgment, people will free themselves from each other, because in the world, the relationship that they had wasn't based upon, it wasn't for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? And so in this verse, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, Shaykh Al-Fuzan first of all says that every worship that is not for Allah, it is futile. It is futile. And you know, he says that there will be a time when the one that is loved will free himself from the one that loved, right? And a partner, the one who committed shirk, will free himself, or the one who shirk was committed with, he will free himself from the one who committed the shirk, right? All relationships, even intimate relationships, on the Day of Judgment, will be broken and will be disavowed. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said in the Quran, إِذْ تَبَرَّ الَّذِينَ تُبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَوُوا الْعَذَابِ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. When those who were followed will free themselves from those who did the following, and they will see the punishment and the attachments between them will be cut off. Then it continues. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّأُوا مِنَّا. So the ones who used to do the following, they will say, if only we can be given another chance. If only we could be given another chance, then we would have freed ourselves from them, just like they have freed themselves from us now. Right. So on the Day of Judgment, the ones who were doing the following, they will realize, hang on, we followed these people that we thought were our leaders and our saints and whatever, and whom they were following, whom they were worshipping, whom they were obeying, right? They will find that those people will say, we had nothing to do with these people who followed us and worshipped us and whatever. We got nothing to do with them. We are innocent of them. We totally free them. So when the followers realize that, you know, the ones whom they followed free themselves, they will say, well, if only we could now be given another chance. If only we could be given another chance, we would have freed ourselves from them, just like they are freeing themselves from us now. Right, so this applies to every false relationship, every false attachment or connection. We'll explain what that is in a minute. So then, Allah Azza wa Jalla continues and He says, "كَذَلِكَ نُرِيهُمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ." Thus does Allah show to them their deeds as a means of ruin over them, and they will not exit from the hellfire. So all of these relationships, what's the reason behind all of this? It is because in these attachments and relationships, it was based upon love, a love that was for other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? So these are attachments that do not follow from the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this led them to commit shirk and to worship other than Allah. And, you know, those people, obviously, they freed themselves from them, because they will find on the Day of Judgment that this is a very difficult day. And so any falsehood, they're going to try and free themselves from it. So they'll say, we've got nothing to do with these people. So, likewise, another verse. Al-akhillau yawma idhim ba'duhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqeen. This is now another verse. Allah says that close and intimate friends on that day, some of them will be enemies to each other. Some of them will be enemies to each other. This is Surah Az-Zukhruf, Surah 43, verse number 67. Intimate friends on that day, some of them will be enemies to other, except the pious. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Except the pious. So, meaning that whatever love used to exist will no longer remain. It will not be present. But as for whatever was loved for Allah, for the sake of Allah alone, then that love will remain on the Day of Judgment. And so this applies to the people who love each other for the sake of Allah and for the sake of the truth. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he says, or he mentions the ayah in the Quran, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ, that we shall remove whatever malice is in their hearts and make them into brothers facing each other on couches or on thrones. So the Shaykh says that love, when it is for the sake of Allah, that love, when that love is for the sake of Allah in this world, it will remain in paradise. And when it is for other than Allah, then it will be a loss and a ruin upon that person on the Day of Judgment. And that verse that we mentioned earlier, وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ in Surah Al-Baqarah, that, you know, the attachments will be cut off between them. This means that the mahabba will be cut off between them on the Day of Judgment. So this statement here of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, وَكُلُّ مَحَبَّةٍ لَا تَكُونُ لِلَّهِ فَهِيَ بَاطِلَةٌ. So every love that is not for Allah, it is futile. Right? So this applies even to relationships and attachments. So to give you an example, to illustrate what this means, let's take, for example, the issue of the neighbor. Right? We know that neighbor, the neighbor and the righteousness to the neighbor is from, you know, iman in Allah and from righteousness. And so, whether that neighbor is Muslim or non-Muslim, and so if your attachment to the neighbor is on this basis, and so you know do goodness and kindness, and you do that because Allah has given that status to the neighbor, and you love those deeds, and you do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and your attachment to the neighbor and good relations that exist, obviously the neighbor will be good in turn to you. Then, in this case, this is a healthy, you know, good relationship. But if your love and attachment is because there's some favor that you are looking for, or some benefit that you are seeking, right, and it's purely material, and it could not be with a neighbor, it could be with somebody else. You could have a friendship with somebody else, and that friendship is got nothing to do with, you know, any obligation or duty, but there's something that you are seeking, or there's some mutual benefit that you gain from each other, but it's not in the path of Allah, it's not for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. That type of relationship, that the love that exists there between you, you know, when it is like for the dunya or for something which is unlawful or something which is harmful or for whatever it might be, then this muhabba will not have any expression on the Day of Judgment. Right? Only that which is for the sake of Allah, only that which is for His sake, you know, any kind of relationships or attachments which are for His sake, only that will manifest on Yawmul Qiyamah. And so, you know, so now if you apply this example, you can see that this can apply to many, many different instances. You see amongst the people of disbelief, their attachments and relationships to each other on the basis of trade, on the basis of whatever it might be, there's no love of Allah between these things, in these things. And likewise, between the worshipped and the worshippers, right? Those who worship their gods and deities and leaders and whatever it might be, the same thing. All of this love that's between them is in vain. It's futile. It has no basis, right? So every deed, every act of worship, every relationship, if it is not for Allah, the muhabba itself in its foundation is not for Allah, as Ibn Taymiyyah says, فَهِيَ بَاطِلَةٌ, it is futile, right? And this includes relationships, just as Shaykh al-Fawzan has mentioned in his commentary, and he mentioned those verses about attachments and relationships between people. Similarly, and likewise, as it relates to at-taqwa, right? Only the people of taqwa, muttaqeen, who enjoin piety upon each other and who fear Allah and who love each other for His sake, their love will remain together. As for the people of sin, people of disbelief, people of misguidance, people of deviation, and whatever it might be, even if they had intimate friendship, then that friendship will not remain. Right? So the next sentence Ibn Taymiyyah says after this, wa kullu amalin la yuradu bihi wajhullah fahuwa batil. Every action by which the face of Allah is not sought, then that is batil. Then that is futile. These sentences are very important because, as you can see, what Ibn Taymiyyah is doing is, like in these sentences that we are discussing, he is basically summarizing the essence of the deen of Islam and the essence of worship which is acceptable to Allah, and that ubudiyyah consists of love, and that love must be purely and sincerely for Allah, and you know, anything which does not emanate from the pure love of Allah is futile, and everything by which the face of Allah is not sought is futile. And then he, you know, continues in this manner. So these are really very important important statements that he's making here. So Shaykh al-Fawzan comments upon this, and he says every action from the actions of worship and nearness by which the face of Allah is not sought, meaning they are not sincerely for Allah, then it is batil, it is futile. And so this is why the actions of the people of shirk, of the people of the mushrikun, will be in vain on the day of judgment, right? On the day that they will be most in need of their deeds, those deeds will be in vain. And that's why in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us similitudes and examples of how the deeds of the people of shirk, not only the people of shirk, obviously who are outside the fold of Islam, but also the people of whose deeds were not purely for the sake of Allah, like ar-riya, as-sum'a, and things like this, right? So the number of verses in the Quran, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ حَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. That he says that we will turn to whatever they did of deeds, and we shall turn them into scattered dust. Right, so this is the deeds of the people of shirk. And in another verse, the similitude is given that their deeds will appear like a mirage. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَسَرَابٍ. baqi'atin, right to the end of the to the ayah. Those who disbelieve, their deeds will be like a like a mirage, right? It's like when a person sees a mirage in the distance, and the one who is thirsty, he thinks he's seeing like an oasis or a, you know, something in the desert that's in, ahead of him. So he goes, you know, he comes to it. حتى إذا جاءه لم يجده شيئا. He comes to it, he finds nothing. And likewise, so this is the similitude of the actions of the people of disbelief. Like for example, the Nasrani or the Yahudi or anyone else upon a muharraf, mubaddal, or a false religion. He will think he did deeds of righteousness, of charity, and you know, but these deeds were done not upon Tawheed, but upon the principle of their shirk. And so these deeds will be nothing. They will have the value of nothing on the Day of Judgment. Likewise, another similitude which has been given for these types of deeds is like the dust which the wind, powerful wind comes and it scatters that dust. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحِ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ. The example of those who disbelieve in their Lord, their deeds are like the dust on a day you know, which are scattered by the wind on a very gusty or very windy day, right? So imagine your deeds are like the dust, and you know you're trying to retain that dust, but the wind is just blowing them in every direction, and you are helpless. So in the same way, this is what will happen to the mushrikeen on the Day of Judgment. Their deeds will be like this. And also, when other than the face of Allah is sought, right? So this can apply also to the people of Iman, the people of Islam, when the deeds are done for other than the sake of Allah. And we know that deeds can be done for ar-riya, to be seen of men, as-sum'ah, to be heard of men. It can be done for, for many affairs that pertain to the dunya, for wealth, you know, for power, for status, for other many other things. So when the face of Allah is not sought, then that action is vain and it is futile. Then Ibn Taymiyyah says after this, in the next sentence, فالدنيا ملعونة ملعون ما فيها إلا ما كان لله ولا يكون لله وما يكون لله إلا ما أحبه الله ورسوله وهو المشروع. So he says the world is cursed, and whatever is in it is cursed, except whatever is for Allah, meaning for the sake of Allah. And nothing is for Allah except what Allah and His Messenger love, and that is what is legislated. وَهُوَ الْمَشْرُوعِ. That is what is legislated. So repeat that again. The world is cursed, and everything in it is cursed, except what is for Allah. And nothing is for Allah except what Allah and His Messenger love, and that is what is legislated. So, Sheikh Al-Fawzan comments upon this statement here, and obviously this is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَ مَلْعُونٌ مَا فِيهَا إِلَّا مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ. And so that is... the word mal'una, the Shaykh explains, meaning madhmuma, right? All the world is basically blameworthy. It is censored, it is rebuked, and except that which is used in obedience to Allah. So whatever is actually used and implemented in the obedience to Allah, then that is outside, that is the exception. So the general rule is everything in the dunya is madhmuma. It is blameworthy, right? Cursed. Except whatever is used in Allah's obedience. But as for when it is, you know, when it is used for Allah's obedience, it is mahmuda. And the world, as the Shaykh says, it is like the seed that you plant for the hereafter. Right? So the dunya for everybody is basically, it's you are planting the seed for what you are going to reap in the hereafter. So whoever took it as a wasila, as a means for worshipping Allah, wasta'ana biha ala ta'atillah, and then he sought aid from what is in the dunya for Allah's obedience, then the world for him, in relation to him, will be mahmuda. Right, so this varies from person to person. Like for you as a believer, if you recognize this, you know that the world is a place of sowing the seed, and then you use whatever is in the world as a wasila, as a means for obedience to Allah, then for you, the world and your interaction with the world, it is nothing but mahmuda for the believer. But if whoever reversed the affair and he took the world and you know, took it, you know, for itself, and then he didn't seek aid by it for worshipping Allah and did not benefit from it, you know, in obeying Allah, then for him it's everything is cursed, and it will be a ruin and a loss for him on Yawmul Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment. And so he will leave the world not having anything with him. Right? You leave the world, nothing comes with you at all. Right? So the example of this person, the Shaykh says, جَاءَ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا عَارِيًا وَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا عَارِيًا. Right? He came to the world naked and he left it naked. لَيْسَ مَعَهُ مِنْهَا شَيْءٍ. Nothing from the world is with him. Right? Nothing goes with him. Even if he left behind him, you know, mansions and buildings and possessions and, you know, all of the, you know, whatever he might have, even if he possessed all of them, when he leaves, فَإِنَّهُ يَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا لَيْسَ مَعْهُ إِلَّا الْكَفَنْ أَلَّذِي لَا يُسَاوِي خَمْسَةَ دَرَاهِمْ. Allahu Akbar, this is the reality. He said, a person does not leave the world except with a shroud which is not even worth 5 dirhams. So he entered naked, he came out of his mother's womb naked, he goes into the grave naked, doesn't take anything with him whatsoever except a shroud, which is probably, you know, as the Shaykh is, some dirham, maybe a pound, you know, some pounds or something. And that's all he takes with him. So he says, if only this person, if Allah Azawajal had made this person to be someone who is wealthy and not in need of anything, and he had, you know, sent forward for himself in the life of this world some charity or, you know, any of the types of good deeds of obedience to Allah, and he sought nearness to Allah by way of these things, then he would find all of these things in front of him, meaning in the hereafter. Like, he would see these things. They would carry through with him in the hereafter. And none of this would be, you know, of what he possessed, except what he put forward, meaning as good deeds. As for what he leaves behind, that will then go to his inheritors. So in other words, any wealth that you used for the sake of Allah, you will then see that ahead of you in the hereafter. As for what you left behind, then that's too late, that's gone, that's just going to be divided now. In inheritance, it's going to go to the people who have a right to that wealth, and it's going to be divided amongst them. And so that's why the Messenger of Allah, he said in the hadith, يَقُولُ إِبْنُ عَادَمْ مَالِي مَالِي. When the son of Adam dies, he says, my wealth, not when he dies, sorry. The son of Adam says, my wealth, my wealth. And so the Messenger said, قال وهل لك يا ابن آدم من مالك إلا ما أكلت فأفنيت أو لبست فأبليت أو تصدقت فأمضيت. He said, and is there for you, O Ibn Adam, from your wealth except what you've eaten, so you caused it to perish, or that which you have worn, so you've caused it to, you know, become worn out and whatever, or given in charity, which you then passed sent forth. So, like, from, if you think of all of your wealth, there's only three things you could do with your actual wealth. Right? It's either you consume it by way of food, or you wear it on your person. That's all that you can really do with wealth, like, you know, in terms of your actual body. Right? You either consume it, or you wear it and you cause it to perish and expire, or it's something that you spend in charity and then you send it forward, right? Meaning send it forward for the hereafter. Anything else that you leave, it is for the inheritors, right? Your home, your car, your cash, your wealth, your whatever it might be, that goes. So, and then Shaykh al-Fawzan goes back to the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, illa ma kana lillah, except that which is for Allah, meaning except that which has been used in the world for Allah's obedience. Then that is what will remain, and that is not walisa mal'unan. It is not, you know, it is not cursed. It is not cursed. So then after this, Ibn Taymiyyah continues and he says, فكل عمل أريد به غير الله لم يكن لله وكل عمل لا يوافق شرع الله لم يكن لله. Every action by which other than Allah is sought is not for Allah, and every action that does not agree with the legislation is not for Allah. Right? Every action by which other than Allah is intended or sought is not for Allah, and every action that does not agree with the legislation of Allah is not for Allah. Now here Ibn Taymiyyah is mentioning the conditions of ibadah, the conditions of worship. How and when is an action accepted by Allah? It has to be sincere and it also has to be correct. So what we'll do, we'll stop the lesson. We'll come to the end of the lesson time here. So we'll stop at this point, and inshallah we'll take on this discussion, we'll continue this discussion inshallah in the next lesson, which will be in 2 weeks' time. So next week there won't be a lesson, it will be in 2 weeks' time inshallah ta'ala. So to wrap up basically, in today's lesson, Ibn Taymiyyah is in the course of discussing all of the elements of true religion, right? Before that we were discussing ways in which people have gone astray because they exaggerated in love, or they exaggerated in fear like the Khawarij, or they exaggerated in hope like the Murji'a, and exaggerating in love, they fell into innovations in worship, or they started using the mutashabih of the Quran, ambiguous passages in the Quran. All different varieties of ways in which a person can basically be led astray in religion. So what is the answer? What is the solution? How do you, you know, save yourself from that? It's very simple. It is tahqiqul ubudiyyah lillah. It is to actualize servitude for Allah. And how do you do that? How does that happen? It starts with muhabba, with love, which is purely and sincerely only for Allah Azza wa Jal. And that love itself, it has alongside it other elements such as fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, hope in Allah Azza wa Jal, and following the command of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there are certain things which invalidate that love or make it invalid, right? And which make the ubudiyah invalid, which is insincerity, shirk, insincerity, where deeds are done for other than the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise also, when you do not abide by the legislation, which is sticking to the sunnah, right? Sunnah as opposed to bid'ah, and ikhlas as opposed to riyah, sincerity as opposed to, you know, insincerity, and sunnah, following the sunnah as opposed to falling into innovation. So all of these things he's bringing here together right at the end of the book. Now we're coming to the end of the book now. And here he is basically discussing the... he is, you know, explaining to us the essence of true religion. The true religion in a few simple, short sentences, explaining the essence of the deen of Islam, the essence of the deen of all the prophets and messengers, which if we stick to, will save us from all of those, you know, things that we discussed earlier, from the affairs of ar-riya and shirk and being attached to material things and put to trial by material things and becoming captivated and enslaved by material things in all their various forms and types. This is the essence of the deen of Islam, which will protect you from all of that. So inshallah we'll continue that discussion about, you know, what is for Allah and when is the deed acceptable to Allah. We'll continue that discussion in the next lesson. So we'll end there today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.